What's up, everybody? My name is Brad Williams, and this is the very first podcast of About Last Night with Brad Williams. Yeah, applause.
Woo! Yeah,
from my co-host over there. We don't have a studio audience. No. That is my co-host.
Sounded like it, though.
I know, right? That would have been cool.
Yeah.
That's my co-host, Adam Ray.
Pleasure to be here, Brad.
Yeah.
This is exciting, man.
So, like I said, this very first podcast, what this podcast hopes to be is it's called About Last Night because as comedians, Adam and I are both touring stand-up comedians. We do crazy stuff on the weekends. We go crazy places and insane stories happen, which we have plenty to talk about today in terms of that. But, yeah, and then we want to share that with you. Eventually, we'll be able to have you guys call in. Email
ask us questions,
what happened.
Because we travel a lot, and you go to some places, and you have usually a plan. You're like, I'm going to do my weekend shows, and I'm going to meet some locals. And then sometimes those locals want to take you out for a little bit, or you know, get blindsided. And,
sure. Well, because you go on the road, and then you're stuck in a hotel room.
Right.
What people don't realize is that, like, yeah, and especially for me, if you don't know who I am, I'm a dwarf. I'm a midget.
Yeah, let's start off. Let me give a little background.
Sure.
Brad Williams. I'm gonna pull up a little Wikipedia page.
Oh boy.
Brad Williams, born in 1984 in Orange County, California. He's a comedian and actor. Regularly appeared on the show Mind of Mencia.
I did. I was usually humping something.
when you're on TV for your first credit, you usually want to be humping. I think that's
absolutely.
How it goes. Johnny Carson was humping something before he got.
Yeah, and then it worked for Kim Kardashian. So yeah why not? You just start off humping.
Yeah.
That's the lesson of today's show, everyone.
If you're going to pull anything from today, it's hump something, tape it, and you will be a star.
Absolutely.
Now, but Brad, so let's give the listeners a little intro to you. So you started, we both went to school at USC.
Yeah, we're both Trojans. I don't know about you. I only use Trojan condoms.
Me too. Yes.
It's a pride thing. And I will continue
to stand by that until they back this podcast. And back my life.
Right? Yeah. Can't you sponsor me, Trojan?
Come on, man.
I'm
we went to
you.
Your goddamn school
right.
named after your rubbers. I used them while I saluted Tommy Trojan in the quad. Yes, there was nobody else there. I was just wearing one.
But whatever.
Saluting,
but, it's cool.
You know what?
I'm wearing one right now.
Yes, and I can see it. It looks great. You are.
Yeah. So and then that's actually where we met because I mean there were definitely a few guys doing stand up at USC.
Sure.
We were doing it. We started doing shows together.
But you had been doing it for I don't know how, cuz what happened with you is that you got into it and started to kind of progress rather quickly, and then
I have a good hook,
right?
It's the whole midget thing.
Yeah, well,
that's
you know,
it's not talent, writing, none of that. Performance art. Nah, just being a midget. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
Be a midget. Walk on stage.
I like you said that's all you gotta do.
Yeah,
is if
all
it's
the
a choice
that's it.
You have.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're a midget, the gods of show business find you,
right.
And they just say you have to be in show business.
Right.
You have no choice.
Yeah,
but I wanted to be a doctor. Put on the clown suit.
Swallow this flame.
Exactly.
So then Carlos Mencia.
Yeah.
Very highly respected, regarded stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Saw you and said, hey, man.
Go on the road.
You're incredible. Why don't you come tour with me? And this was how many months before you graduated?
I was a year away from graduating.
Right.
So that's
how did the
my
parents
junior
take
year.
That?
Oh, I mean, I think it's all parents' dream that you call them up one day and you say, hey, Mom, Dad, you know the thousands of dollars you're spending on an expensive private school
you know
tuition?
You frame you bought for my diploma? Yeah,
gonna,
go ahead and put a picture of the dog in it.
Yeah, because guess what? I'm going into the stable world of stand-up comedy where, I mean, everyone makes it,
yeah.
Right?
Let me just maybe do an impression of both your parents at the same time. What?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then I started going on the road with Mencia. Did that for 4 years and was on the show and then started headlining and now I've reached the next pinnacle of my career.
You have, and let me just say, as a witness, Brad, I've had the privilege of doing many weekends with Brad, and the guy crushes.
Thank you.
Really hard, and not only has he always crushed, but just as you would hope with anything, the more you do it, the better you get. And I mean, shit, man, you're writing. Everything just is getting better and better.
Thanks,
and I think
man.
That, and you know, you say you have a hook, but it's not And yeah, I'm sure that gets some people out, right? Because they're like, oh, well, I didn't know. I don't know any other dwarf comedians.
Yeah, right. I mean, who doesn't want to have just a dwarf in front of them and their sole job is to entertain?
Right.
Because most of you see us on the street, you're like, I want to look at them, but then people are going to be upset at me. Yeah. And then
and tickets are usually like, what, 20 to 30 bucks? And like, let's be honest.
20
like,
bucks, dude. I'm not charged 30 yet.
Yeah, if you were to ask somebody, like, hey, how much would you pay to see a dwarf talk to me? Probably people who don't know would probably go, oh, probably hundreds of dollars. Because they think
you sound like an infomercial. Yeah. What would you normally pay for this product?
Four easy payments. Small, but, very small payments.
Right. There's porn sites dedicated to talking to midgets, Jesus. And they make so much more money than I do. But thank you for that. But
so point being, you've put in your time and you've now gotten to a point to not only where people are saying, hey, do a podcast, but now you're getting on more dates, bigger fan bases that are coming back for you. Your Twitter followers are up. Thanks. And everything is just you're building a solid fan base. And now to the point to where you're getting asked to do amphitheater shows with giant legendary comedians.
Yeah, this was cool.
Which happened this weekend.
Yeah, we don't know when exactly this is going to go out, but this podcast. But recently, this past weekend, the big station, the rock station here in Los Angeles is K-Rock. The morning show there is the Kevin and Bean show. They've been on for 20 years.
Great show.
I've grown up in Southern California, listened to them my whole life. They do this. They do a comedy show. They've been doing it for 4 years. It's called April Foolishness. And they recently had me on. And this is no...
And it's a big... I mean, it's Universal huge, Amphitheater. It's
which holds 6,000 people.
Some of the biggest names in comedy.
On this show was Felipe Esparza, Tim Minchin.
Winner of Last Comic Standing. Yeah. Giant comic in the UK.
Yeah, Tim Minchin. Eddie Ift has a great podcast himself.
Yep.
And then you get to the heavy hitters. You have Jim Jefferies. Jesus. You had Jay Moore.
Jesus.
You had Eddie Izzard.
Oh, God.
Eddie Izzard, who by himself sold out the Hollywood Bowl.
Yep.
And in Europe, like sells out stadiums.
Yeah.
Like, just insanely talented comedian.
Who was hanging out, too? I mean...
Oh, and then also Larry King. Yes, that Larry King.
Open the show. Larry King opens the show, like, you're like, Jesus, who's next? Jesus Christ?
Well, they knew each other. Yeah. I think they went to the same high school. Exactly. So this was the show that happened this last weekend. And me.
And Brad Williams.
Who?
What?
Yeah, this guy.
That's right.
And insane people there. John Stamos. Oh, Bob Saget was on the show, too.
Jesus.
Bob Saget was on the show. And John Stamos was there as well to support Saget. Actually, during... so here's what happened backstage. Saget comes up to me and he says, hey... John Stamos is here.
Right.
I go, oh, awesome. You know, Full House. Yeah. Jesse
great
Ripper.
Hair. Sweet. You know, loves to play with the Beach Boys. Maybe he's got
he
some
did.
Great Beach Boy stories.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, all right, cool. He's going to be here. And he's like, just so you know, he's afraid of little people.
Are you? Are you
What? The Greek god, John Stamos, is afraid of little people? And he says, like, Saget says, so you can do two things. You can do A, like, leave, because he's going to come on and surprise the audience and come on.
This is what Saget says to Stamos.
To me.
He's like, oh.
He says you can either leave and kind of make sure he's okay, or do what I would recommend and hang out and make him incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I said, well, obviously I'm going to do that. So he actually tweeted a photo of us together.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So clearly things got worked out.
Yeah. Well, but, like, I didn't tell, like, it wasn't like a gradual introduction to Stamos. I waited until he was talking to somebody else and then came up beside him and just pat him on the back and said, what's up, pretty boy? And he looks down
and
sees
me. And he's like, that hand is a lot lower than
my
body.
That felt like an Olsen
twin. Usually that hand should be going up somewhere if it's going to be that low and tickling movements.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he looks down, sees me, and you definitely saw him kind of yip a little bit, like kind of a little jump.
Sure.
And, but... there was plenty of people around, so he knew he had to play it cool. So he's like, "Oh, little guy,
At that point, he also wants to address you. So not only is he scared, he's like, "I don't want to say the wrong term." Like,
right. And so he did that, and but we started talking, and he was a great dude, man. But if you see the photo that Bob Saget tweeted, and I think I retweeted it, you can follow me on Twitter @FunnyBrad, FUNNYBRAD.
And I'm Adam Ray at Adam Ray Comedy.
Adam Ray Comedy. Sexy ass voice, dude. Adam. Anyway, you could see in the photo that he's kind of scared. He's looking like he's kind of got that. Yeah. You could see muscles in his neck.
Like, he doesn't know
tensing.
That if the picture takes, you will all freeze and he'll turn into a dwarf. Like, maybe, crazy thoughts are going through his head. Like, what happens if you take a picture with one?
Yeah,
right?
he thinks it's some weird 80s movie. Ernest goes and hangs out with midgets or, like, something like that, where it's just, like, he's going to start shrinking. Yeah.
Maybe he's going to have to be Mini Stamos for the rest of his life.
Right.
That is actually kind of a beautiful, there's maybe people who get like, oh, I get a little antsy around, like, something that I'm not used to or around ever. But if he has a genuine fear, you can only imagine the types of things he's created in his head and that he thinks are possible. So it's I say that as a joke with the picture thing, but who knows what he's thinking when he's standing there? Or if he's like, if I hold my arm on him too long, is he going to be attached? Or is he going to, you think of crazy.
Wait, I have a wet spot on my hip. Maybe he sticks because dwarf skin is sticky. Something like that. Great guy. Yeah.
Tell us about the show now. You told me, like, it couldn't. Well, you sent me a text that said, if I could have dreamt the best possible scenario, this surpassed it.
This would have beat it. Well, first, I'll start off going back to Larry King, who opened the show.
Of course.
All the comics came to the side of the stage to watch Larry because we had no idea what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. We're like, what's. All we know of Larry is that he's
on the roast.
Yeah, he just says Atlanta, hello. Like that's all we know from Larry King.
Right,
what's he gonna do for comedy?
Although I do know him from the movie theater because I ran into him while I was stoned one time. I'm just gonna say this really quick. I ran into him while I was stoned. I went out to the snack machine. I was seeing Chronicles of Narnia by myself, which was a terrible idea because the lion goes, "Welcome to Narnia," and I was like, "I gotta get out of here. This is not happening today at 3:00 on a Wednesday." So I go to the hallway. Larry King's there. And he's with a kid, and I go, "Hey, Larry." I go, "I gotta say hi to him because I'm really high." I go, "Hey, man, big fan of the show. You got any great celebrities coming up?" And he goes, "I'm with my nephew. Do you mind?" And I go, "Not at all. I just got interviewed by Larry King." And I walked away, and I got more popcorn.
Yes.
Anyway,
you got interviewed by Larry King, though.
Yeah, yeah,
it was brave, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Claim to fame.
So he opens the show.
All the comics on the set of stage to watch him, and then Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. Mm-hmm. Is standing next to me, and I've been on the show plenty of times, so he knows me, and we start talking, like, "How great is this? Larry King's doing it." And then Kevin looks at me and says, "How much money would it take for you to run on stage right now and hump Larry King's leg?" And I look up, and I'm like, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. And he goes, "I'll give you $100. I'm like, "I wouldn't do $100.
No.
He keeps going up. He says, "I'll give you $500. If you run out right now,
now we're talking.
And hump Larry King's leg, that's a lot of Lucky Charms that this midget could buy. Like $500, that's a lot of food."
Which we joke, but you love that cereal.
Which is always weird when I'm eating it, and then people look by, see a midget eating Lucky Charms, just like, "I knew it." You know, they're freaking out.
"You love those marshmallows."
I know. Like, of course I do. Yeah. I'm human.
Delicious.
So he says $500, and I'm thinking about, I'm like, I'm going through all the scenarios in my head, like. Yeah. Because he's, like, into his act, and it's like, will I mess him up? Because he's not a, experienced comedian.
Yeah.
What will happen? Will he get mad at me? Will the Times pick this up? Will he die?
Right.
Like, will he look down, see a midget humping his leg, and go, "You know what? I'm going to heaven now. I'm out." Like,
he wants to go that way. Maybe in a strange fear, galaxy, he's like, "You know what? I'm scared of this, but maybe I need to face my fears and then let this just run its course."
Exactly. So, I'm debating, and then I just go, "You know what? I'm doing it. I'm going to run out." When are you going to ever get the chance again?
Yeah,
never.
You have to.
He's going
to
be dead in a month. So,
if that.
Yeah, yeah. So you say, "I'm doing this." So I stand back and I take two steps and I start to run out. And then the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, his name is Dave Sanchez. On the show, he's called Dave the King of Mexico. Mm-hmm. You can Twitter him at, I think it's K-Rock with a K. Yeah, K-Rock. Com, K-O-M, K-R-O, because I want you guys to talk crap to him.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, talk crap to him, because I take two steps to start running. He just, Darrell Revis in the open field,
tackles me.
What?
Like, just shoulder.
What?
Shoulder, just boom. Just
now, was he like on a walkie-talkie? Was like, we got a dwarf going out of control. Like, take him out. Take him out. Like, just.
This is a code rainbow. Code rainbow.
Code rainbow.
Code rainbow.
Code rainbow.
That, yeah, and then everyone knows dwarf attacking artist.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he just tackles me and he gets me to the ground. He's like, no, you are not going to hit Larry King. You are not going to hump Larry King. He's a respectable journalist.
Wow.
And I'm wrestling with him. And Kevin is like yelling at him, like, let him up.
And this is on stage.
It's not
okay,
stage. It's just off stage.
Okay.
But Kevin's like, let him up. Let him. This is going to be awesome. You're the antithesis
it's my
of fun.
Show, damn
yeah.
it.
He's like, I will fire you. I will fire you if you do not let Brad up. And he's like, I can't let him do it. And like, I wrestled in high school. I think I'm all right on the mat. I had nothing on him.
No,
like, he was holding me down. Like, he literally thought that his life and job depended on it.
Sure.
So I couldn't go out there. By the time he actually let me up, Larry says, thank you, good night. And then, I don't know why.
You can't screw with that.
Yeah, and then he goes off stage. I'm like, damn it. Missed a wonderful opportunity to humble Larry King's leg.
You know what? Maybe after this podcast, get some legs. We can have him in here, and we can both hump him.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
So we could have a 2.5-some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You go on one side. You take one knee. I'll take one ankle. We'll just go nuts.
I mean, I think a lot of people secretly fantasize about a Jew and a dwarf humping them at the same time. Like, you must get, like, I don't know, like, free rainbows or something? I don't know. Or discounted Skittles? I don't know.
Right, exactly. You get some good stuff. So that's
unbelievable. So,
yeah.
And let me say this, too. So it's like, as comedians, we have, like, benchmarks in our career where it's like, obviously you get the validation every night of the laughter and whatever and an immediate response from the crowd and being validated on whether or not you're funny or not. But we don't have... booking jobs helps, but like for stand-up, it's like you get a TV appearance, you get a special, you get into a festival, Montreal just for laughs, things like that really make you go, all right, good, things are moving along, I'm getting, but...
Stuff that lets you know I'm getting better, and I'm getting more popular.
But for shows, it's like, we're both traveling almost every weekend, and it's like, those kind of start blending together, and we still put everything into them, but it's just, it's another weekend, it's another club where you're kind of bringing it, but it's, and you're building your fan base, but you're not really completely seeing, like, each weekend doesn't mean... 500,000 new followers yet.
Right.
But we're building that. But so when you do a show like this, it's, with all those heavy hitters, and for you to kill it like you did, and for have people like, excuse me, Jay Moore, to after your set say, what he said?
Jay Moore was on a few comics after me. And first of all, I went on after Saget. And that was great. Like, he just had Uncle Jesse. He had just had John Stamos on stage. It was place was going nuts. I go on stage, and I did my set. At the end of my set, I actually gave a lap dance to one of the DJs on their show, Lisa May.
Awesome.
And I said thank you. And as soon as I said thank you, the whole place just started standing and clapping.
Holy
and
shit,
gave me
man.
A standing ovation. And
6,000 people.
6,000 people. And I've never been more... like humbled and
turned
more
on.
Like erect.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Sorry,
just
yeah.
fully just bam.
I've never been as stiff.
This
as
was
a rock.
Not a 3 o'clock.
Like
this was
a rock.
This was full midnight. And I wanted to just stay out there, but I couldn't. But and then I get backstage and everyone's just like giving me props, and Jay Moore goes on stage and Jay Moore does a couple jokes and then says, I'm doing jokes, but let's be honest. We're all playing for second place after Brad Williams.
Jesus, man.
And
what
for,
a compliment.
Yeah.
And
for,
a guy of
Jay
his
Moore.
Stature, man. A
exactly.
Guy, just acclaimed film and TV star.
Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live, man. More sports. His podcast is killing it. It's one of the top podcasts right now.
Right, right, right.
Jerry Maguire. I mean, dude, picture perfect. The guy's,
Well, maybe not picture perfect, but...
he was picture perfect in that movie, which is kind of ironic.
He got to stare at Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
He got paid to do that,
see,
so that's good. But, but for him to say something like that...
It's unbelievable.
It's
one of those things like I was saying. So you, like, these shows are, like, that show is in the category of, like, special.
Oh,
where it's like, you're on a lineup with people you've looked up to your whole life.
I'm a midget, I look up to, but, that's not, who don't I look up to? Ass! Thanks for bringing that up.
You look up to the milkman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so, and now you're, not only are you on a show with those people, but you have the best set of the night, and they're being like, they're in awe of you. And that's what's great about comedy, too, is that there are so many people... there's obviously in L.A., we're yet inundated with comics because every actor wants to be a comedian.
Sure.
But then they start to figure out what it takes and how they got to treat it as a job. And they're like, well, I don't want to be out every night. I want to have a social life. It's like,
okay. Well, then you're not going to get better.
Yeah. But it's like to get introduced to people like that, because like there's so many, there's a handful I'd say of comics that are just killing it like you are, that
thanks,
you know,
man,
that people aren't yet totally universally aware of. And I think shows like this,
you do know you're already the co-host, like I'm not having auditions, you don't have to keep like
can I put my pants back on because I was going to get to that.
No, it's a beautiful thing that all you right. have right there, so whatever.
Well, it's part of the co-host's job to flatter the shit out of the host so that they go, you know, you're not just a voice,
you're the fluffer.
All right, good. Good. The podcast fluffer.
Yeah,
call
exactly.
me PF from now on. And add a Chang's if you want, because, you know,
there you go.
I always wanted to be Asian.
Works better.
But anyway, so now, you know, that show and God, obviously.
Well, the trippiest part was this guy came up to me and backstage and he says, are you busy right now? And I'm trying to take pictures with people and do things. But I go, no. What's up? He goes, Eddie Izzard wants to meet you. And a sentence I never thought I would ever hear.
Sure.
Eddie Izzard. And then I go to meet Eddie, and it's like this dude is unreal in terms of the world of comedy. I mean, someone who's just literally sold out stadiums,
sure.
not theaters, stadiums.
Cut to 8 years prior, by the way, when they're like, Mr. Williams, did you finish your paper on East Asian Society? And you're like, I didn't even know I was in this class.
Right.
And now Eddie Izzard's
yeah,
like, hey,
and
can I talk to you?
And Eddie just was just saying, hey, that was great. Really enjoyed your stuff. It's really refreshing and original and things like that. And I'm just sitting there going, Eddie, talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, and I've met, you know, through this business, you meet people. And
yeah. It's one of the perks.
Absolutely.
Of busting your ass, too, and getting to a point to where you get to be on shows with people like this, where you get
right.
asked to, and where, you know, and I feel like that, you know, everybody says, you know, things happen when they happen and happen for a reason, and you got to be patient, and which I think is the toughest part. Eventually just being like, because you want to be so good so quick when you start out, I feel like.
Yeah.
And realizing that, like, man, I just got to, you know, enjoy the journey, focus on getting better, get up as much as I can. And then when things like, when this show came along, I mean, you probably could have done the show 5 years ago. But to
yeah.
but to really be comfortable and be like, I'm pumped for it, instead
right.
of like, man,
scared
I hope
out of my
I do
mind.
Well.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
That's
no.
a completely different mentality.
Well, what's funny is my mom got a chance to go to the show. Being that it's a local show, I was able to get her tickets. And
that's awesome.
My mom has a fear of public speaking, the actual phobia. Not like I'm uncomfortable with it. She's terrified of
wow.
it. And when she watches me do comedy, it's not just that she's watching me. She projects herself, what would I do if I was on stage?
Wow.
So she starts having an anxiety attack.
I was going to say, does that make her more uncomfortable? Or
absolutely,
does it
does. Jeez. So she was in the audience, and she actually called me that morning and said, I'm not going because I can't walk. Like, because what if you bomb? I'm like, bomb.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
That fear is still in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so now it's like, great, I wasn't thinking about bombing until
right.
you just said that.
Right.
Thanks, Ma.
Yeah.
And now I'm scared out of my mind, but then at the same time, I wander there, and she did show up, and then to have her, I got her backstage passes, and to have her come up to me afterward and just be like, that was better than anything I could.
Oh, dude,
it was
awesome,
man. It's just cool.
And those moments are just not on paper, man, and that's what you... You know, that's what we work to get to those
right.
opportunities, and then to have it pan out like that.
Yeah, and the thing about comedy is that just about anything you can practice. You can do you can practice
origami,
your
flute.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have in my trunk right now.
Musical instruments you can practice. A skill at a sport you can practice. Even there's things if you're into math, there's little games and things you can do to test and get better
sure.
every day. Comedy, the only way you truly get better is to do it. And so that way, when you fail, you will fail, and you will.
And that's how you get better, though. I think people
right.
It's so many young comics, I feel like I talk to, and obviously we're still young comics by
sure.
you know, but people I'm talking about who are like not even a year in, who I'll talk to, and they're like, how do I, you know, I'm starting to really get into a flow of shows. It's like, yeah, because you're on these shows where a lot of your friends are coming out,
mm-hmm.
or you're just maybe, you know, really kind of just you're in the zone with stuff and you're writing a lot, but it's like you really then you start to get. You know, start to get complacent. You're like, if I'm not crushing or getting laughs all the time, I'm not doing well. But it's like, no, man, you want to have, like, not, you don't want to fail, but like those shows when you bomb,
you
that's when you really look
yeah.
at yourself and go, is this for me, or how am I going to respond to the not laughs, you know?
Right. Well, it's funny. I took an acting class a few years ago, and one of my teachers said something really cool that I've always remembered, where he says, desperate people get super creative super quickly. And that's very true. Like, you find out how
sure.
good of a comic you are when your joke doesn't work. And
yeah.
you go, oh, crap.
Right.
I can't just continue on. I've got to fix this. Right. I've got to do something. I got to make something up. Or when you get a heckle or anything like that. Oh, all right. When you get a heckle, you have got to tell your heckle story.
Should I do it real quick? All right, cool.
Yes, absolutely.
We got 10 minutes. We got time for this. Yeah. This will be quick, and then we'll go into the
preview
teaser
for the next show.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
It's going great so far, right?
Yeah. I'm having fun. Are you guys having fun? Like,
yeah.
I ask, like, you can respond. But yeah, tell
right, so, I worked, obviously, we're at the John Lovett Studios here, and we're next to Universal Studios, where I worked at a day job for 8 years. Started out as a backlot tour guide, and then I moved, I got promoted to Wolverine.
That's promoted, by the way.
Yeah.
Not Cyclops. Wolverine. I can regenerate. Yeah. I'm good. Can't hurt me. So
which is great because you're eye candy for heavy set Latino women and children. Like, so there's a lot of benefits. The wig, the claws, you know. And I mean, I really, like, I love the job because the kids really, like, they think you're those characters. Right,
right, so,
like,
right.
When there was but the problem is I didn't know anything about Marvel Comics, right? So like, they'd be asking me, like, you know, what's Wolverine's favorite food? And I was like, turkey on rye. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. He loves pastrami, like, potato salad, man.
He's
I'm
like,
not the
no,
guy.
No. Everyone knows that in Weapon X, episode 3, his favorite food was a corned beef sandwich.
His favorite food was a corned beef sandwich. And he went to Jerry's Deli with Spider-Man.
Yeah. And so, anyway, so I worked there for a while, and Wolverine obviously created many. Being a part of these people's vacations and days was incredible.
Yeah.
So, cut to 3 years into doing the job. I'm in Paso Robles, California, up in wine country. I'm at a bar. At the top of the bar, there's like 300 people packed in there.
Nice.
And there's an obnoxious woman in the corner, which I've dealt with before, but she's being very loud and crazy. And finally, I go, she's like, I'm like, what do you want? Like, it's my show right now. Like, what do you want right now? She goes, I want a kiss. So I'm like, all right, well, that'll shut you up. Should I give her a kiss? People are like, yeah. So I go over to her. She
was
kisses me on the cheek. Oh,
no. Okay.
So she kissed me on the
That's
cheek.
All I gotta say.
She was, I mean, she was, I almost said she was old, but that doesn't mean she can't be hot. She looked like she had had 6 boxes of wine that day. And by that day, I mean the past 5 minutes.
Right.
And
she looked like a raisin.
And on the 5th box, she hit herself in the face with it. So
there was an anvil attached to the box. Yeah. She did a curl, missed her mouth, right in the face.
She,
okay.
Yeah. And then she tried to put on eyeliner on her lips and lipstick on her eyes.
Okay.
So, she also was a clown. And so she starts yelling. She gives me the kiss. I say, I think I just got gingivitis, something to that, like,
right.
You know, extent. She continues to babble. I'm looking down in between jokes. I just done my jokes about being Wolverine. And I'm looking down, trying to think of what's next. And all of a sudden, I see in the corner of my eye, like peripheral vision, a wine glass raise. And it just happens so quickly where she throws it. And I don't have enough time to look up and stop it because I'm looking down. And I'm almost, like, not believing it. I'm like, that's not happening right now. So I just stick my hand out. And it's about 15 to 17 feet away.
Right.
And I stick my hand out to block it, to deflect it away.
Yeah.
It ends up just hitting like two, like the edges of the glass, like get right caught in the webbing. And again, I'm using Spider-Man type terminology, but like in my fingers. And I just grabbed it quickly. So I basically snapped a wine glass out of midair.
That is awesome!
Out of midair. I just slowly turned up like it was a Samuel L. Jackson, like looking out the window at the dinosaur in Jurassic Park. And I slowly turn up and I walk over and people start just going nuts. And I set the wine glass down and I go, I told you I'm Wolverine, bitch. Don't fuck with me.
Yes!
And everybody just goes nuts.
Yes!
And everybody starts clapping.
I love that story because every comic dreams of that.
Yeah.
Just an ultimate fuck you.
And it
like
built.
You're so badass.
It built up to where everyone was like, God, why won't she, like, you know, she needs, you know. Anyway, so that was incredible. But these stories, and you know what, and I gotta say, this is, I think, a part of the reason why we started this podcast, because you and I have done so many road gigs together, and hung out so much, and that's the other great thing about doing the road, is like, you know, we met at USC, weren't really hanging out a lot at college, because we kind of met after we had both left, or as I was graduating,
exactly.
And then you get to meet, man, because the comedy community is so supportive, and to really like, get on the same level with
it's
people.
A fraternity, yeah, it really is,
and to share these shared experiences, and then get to know people, and obviously we have sports and so many things in common.
Sure, things to bond.
And this podcast, I think, is going to be a good outlet for a
Absolutely.
Lot of things we do.
We're going to go, because Adam and I are going to go on the road. We're going to do crazy stuff. Crazy stuff is going to happen. And then we're going to come back, be able to share those stories with you guys, and see what you think.
Fresh off the weekend.
Yeah, get your feedback. Eventually, we will probably have other guests.
Definitely.
I don't want this to be just a thing where every week there's a new guest. I want it to mix
it up a
little
bit. We've got enough material between us and what's going to happen. I mean, we don't even, the things we could talk about that have already happened, which we will do at some points.
Right.
I mean, you worked at Disneyland for a while. So one episode, and I was at Universal for 8 years.
Yeah.
Theme park experiences.
We'll
and
have theme park jobs. We'll do, we'll tell stories. We'll tell our stories. And then we also want to hear your stories. It's called About Last Night because if you had some crazy thing that happened to you where you want to get it out, you can message us, tweet us. We'll eventually have email accounts set up, and you can get a hold of us.
And we'll put our comedic spin on it and try to digress some of your experiences and try to relate them to our own, which is ultimately what we
absolutely
do
and
on stage.
Yeah. And like I know that next week we have to tell this story next week.
Yeah,
because
I wish we had time today.
This was so
insane.
This is crazy. But you meet people and then you get to do things in this business. And we were offered recently, you and I, after meeting a certain adult film star, to go watch her work.
To watch her work. And now you're thinking to yourself, so what does that mean exactly, Brad? Now, did you get to watch her file away DVDs? Did you get to watch her clean the cars outside the building?
Change the water cooler.
Change
tank.
The water cooler.
No.
No, actually, I've got it. Wait, maybe she sharpens the pencils for the secretary.
She was sharpening something.
And that is a great teaser.
Yeah, so we will be telling you that story next week. More experiences.
Unbelievable, by the way. I mean, like, we have a couple minutes to just reach the subject. I mean, had you ever in a million years thought you were going to get to go watch something like that?
It's something as a dude you always hope that, like, you're a dude.
There's a certain
you want to do
clump
that.
Of things in life that
there's
I think many
bucket
women
list.
Both fan bucket list.
Yeah.
Would you even put it on your bucket list?
Bucket list, maybe.
Bucket list.
And,
well played.
We're adults here. You could say you watch porn, and you always wonder, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what goes on that set. Now we got to see that, and it's definitely not what you're
expecting, right?
No, not at all.
Especially when you walk in, and it's a room the size of a studio apartment, and you're expecting big crews and a full camera crews and everybody, and you're like, oh, we hope we don't interrupt. Rarely do you think that you're going to walk in and all the actors are going to just make eye contact with you and you have to then wave or take your shoes off.
Do something to let them know, hey,
buy them
we're here.
Buy them a cookie. Yeah, something.
So anyway. All those stories and more. This is the About Last Night podcast. Adam, you want to say your information?
Yeah,
plug?
I mean, Brad. I do a ton of web videos. Brad's been in a handful, and we're gonna start getting involved in that too. My YouTube channel, Adam Ray 24, Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, website AdamRayTV.com. And
are you going anywhere in the next couple weeks?
I'm going to Charlie Goodnight's April 12th through the 15th, and then the American Comedy Company in San Diego May 10th through the 13th.
Good. I'm Brad Williams. BradWilliamsComedy.com. Twitter.com/FunnyBrad @FunnyBrad. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm going to get the Paris Hotel coming up, and also the Richmond Funny Bone. So get those tickets. We'll see you out there. This is the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
See you later.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.